It's Friday, February 13th. Yes, that Friday the 13th. And here's the thing. Nobody actually knows why we're scared of this date. Friday and the number 13 were unlucky separately for centuries, but the first time anyone put them together in writing was in an 1834 French play. The modern superstition probably comes from a 1907 novel about a stockbroker who crashes Wall Street on purpose on a Friday the 13th. We've been spooked by a plot device from a book nobody reads anymore. So with that cleared up, let's talk about three things that actually happened this week that are stranger than any superstition. A star in the galaxy next door just vanished. That viral story about Yellowstone's wolves? The math was wrong. And the US government officially declared that carbon dioxide isn't dangerous, and the one company you'd least expect tried to stop them. This is Higher IQ. So there's a star, or there was a star, in the Andromeda Galaxy, our nearest big neighbor, about 2.5 million light years away. This thing was enormous, about 20 times heavier than our sun when it was born, one of the brightest objects in the entire galaxy. You could point a telescope at Andromeda and pick it out from a trillion other stars. And starting around 2014, it started doing something weird. It got brighter, about 50% brighter over 2 years. And then it started to fade, slowly at first, then faster. By 2022, it was basically gone. By 2023, the most powerful telescopes on Earth couldn't find it. One of the brightest stars in the galaxy next door just wasn't there anymore. The results were published this week in Science, and here's what the team thinks happened. This star died and became a black hole, without exploding, which is not supposed to be possible. The standard story goes like this. A massive star runs out of fuel, gravity crushes the core, and the rebound launches a supernova, one of the most violent events in the universe. We're talking about an explosion that can briefly outshine an entire galaxy. Billions of stars, and for a few weeks, one dying star is brighter than all of them combined. That's how we thought black holes were born, with the biggest bang imaginable. But this star skipped all of that. It just went dark. By the time it died, it had shed most of its mass through powerful stellar winds. It was down to about 7 solar masses. The core collapsed, and instead of blowing itself apart, the outer layers slowly spiraled inward over years, like water circling a drain. 98% of the remaining star fell into that black hole. And what's left is genuinely hard to wrap your head around. A black hole about 6.5 times the mass of our sun, compressed into something roughly 30 kilometers across. You could drive across it in 20 minutes. And it sits where one of the most luminous stars in Andromeda used to be. The lead researcher, Kishale Day, put it like this. Imagine if Betelgeuse just disappeared. Everyone would lose their minds. Betelgeuse is one of the brightest stars in our sky, that orange dot on Orion's shoulder that you can see on any clear night. Now imagine looking up one evening and it's just not there. That's essentially what happened here, just in the galaxy next door, and nobody noticed for 5 years. That last part is what gets us. This wasn't some faint, forgettable star at the edge of nowhere. It was a giant, and it vanished so quietly that even with every telescope we have, nobody caught it in real time. Sometimes the most powerful force in the universe doesn't make a sound. Speaking of stories we thought we knew, let's talk about the most beautiful lie in ecology. If you've been on the internet in the last decade, you've almost certainly seen this video. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers. 43 million views on YouTube. It's been shown in classrooms, cited in TED Talks, shared by every nature account on Instagram. And the story is irresistible. Wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone in 1995. The elk, no longer safe to graze wherever they wanted, moved away from the riverbanks. The willows grew back. The beavers returned. The riverbanks stabilized. And the rivers, the actual rivers, changed course. One animal, reintroduced to one park, set off a chain reaction that literally reshaped the landscape. People watched this video and cried. It made you believe that nature has an undo button, that if you just put the right piece back, the whole system heals itself. A study published this week says the central claim is wrong. And the way it's wrong is almost worse than if the data had just been messy. Researchers from Utah State and Colorado State went back through the numbers behind the headline stat, a 1,500% increase in willow growth after the wolves returned. What they found is that the researchers who made that claim used plant height to calculate crown volume and then used crown volume to predict crown volume. The input and the output were mathematically linked from the start. It's like stepping on a scale, writing down your weight, then using that number to predict your weight and announcing that your model is 99% accurate. The math was guaranteed to look dramatic, regardless of what was actually happening in Yellowstone. Once they corrected for that and a few other methodological issues, the sweeping ecosystem-wide rebound mostly vanished. What they found instead was something less cinematic but more honest. Wolves did have an effect on the ecosystem, but it was modest, local, and tangled up with a dozen other things happening at the same time: changes in hydrology, human hunting pressure, bison moving on to the northern range, drought years. One ecologist called the original narrative a cartoon of a more complex truth. And here's where it actually gets interesting, because the real story is better than the fake one. It's just harder to tell. Yellowstone isn't a simple machine where you put wolves in and rivers come out. It's a system so complex that even the people who've studied it for 30 years disagree about what's driving what. That complexity is what makes ecology fascinating, but it doesn't fit into a 4-minute video with a narrator and a swelling soundtrack. The stories that spread fastest are the ones that feel the most like stories. From a story that was too clean to one that's about to get very messy. On Thursday, President Trump and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin stood at the White House and repealed something most people have never heard of, the endangerment finding. Sounds bureaucratic. It's not. This might be the most consequential regulatory decision in a decade, and it affects every car on the road, every power plant in the country, and the price you pay for energy. Here's why. Quick version of the backstory. In 2007, the Supreme Court told the EPA it could regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. 2 years later, under Obama, the EPA did the science and made it official. Carbon dioxide, methane, and 4 other greenhouse gases endanger human health and welfare. That single determination, the endangerment finding, became the legal foundation for basically every federal climate rule that followed. Emission standards for your car. Limits on power plant pollution. Methane rules for oil and gas drilling. All of it rested on one conclusion: these gases are dangerous. On Thursday, the EPA said that conclusion was wrong. The White House called it the largest deregulatory action in American history and estimated it would save $1.3 trillion. Zeldin called it driving a dagger straight into the heart of the climate change religion. Supporters say it will lower energy costs and car prices. Critics say it ignores decades of established science. Lawsuits were filed within hours. California's governor announced he's suing. Earth Justice filed immediately, and legal experts say this is almost certainly headed to the Supreme Court. But here's the detail that stopped us in our tracks. One of the companies that formally submitted comments to the EPA asking them not to do this was Tesla, Elon Musk's company. In a letter to the EPA, Tesla argued that the endangerment finding and the vehicle emission standards that flow from it provided a stable regulatory platform for their investments in product development and production. In other words, the regulations that just got killed were part of the reason Tesla could plan and build cars with confidence. The CEO of Tesla is one of the president's closest advisors, and his own company went on the record saying this move hurts them. That's the kind of detail that tells you this isn't a simple story about regulation versus deregulation. When the biggest electric vehicle company in the world is asking a deregulation-focused administration to keep a regulation in place, something more complicated is going on. Businesses, even ones that hate regulation in general, sometimes need regulatory certainty more than they need regulatory freedom. We're not here to tell you whether repealing the endangerment finding is right or wrong, but it's worth understanding what it was. It was the legal reason your car gets better gas mileage than it did 15 years ago. It was the mechanism that allowed the federal government to set limits on the pollution that drives climate change. And as of Thursday, it no longer exists. What replaces it Whether that's state-by-state rules, new lawsuits, congressional action, or nothing, is a question nobody can answer yet. But the gap is real, and it starts now. A star that vanished so quietly nobody noticed for 5 years. A story about wolves that 43 million people believed because it was too beautiful not to. And a 17-year-old scientific finding that was overturned not by new evidence, but by new priorities. Three very different stories. One thread, the things we assume are permanent, stars, narratives, laws, can disappear faster than we expect. Sometimes the collapse is silent, sometimes the correction takes decades, and sometimes it happens on a Thursday afternoon at the White House on a Friday the 13th week. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.